Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. Today I have the privilege and honor to welcome the Urban League Guild Health Awareness Day 2020. So if this is your first time tuning in to our show, we thank you so much. If you have been a long time listener, we thank you as well. Today our goal is to welcome you to the Health Awareness Day and hope that you will enjoy the show. This is Saturday, May 16, 2020, for those who may be listening in the archives, and we are just so pleased to be with you today. Let me just tell you a little bit about the Urban League and our mission. We are the Goodwill Ambassadors, and when the Urban League calls, the Guild will answer. We are an affiliate of the Urban League of Hampton Roads. The mission of the Urban League Guild of Hampton Roads is to stimulate, develop, and promote volunteer participation and leadership consistent with the goals and objectives of the local affiliate. The Urban League Guild Hampton Roads is to promote volunteer services in this area of fundraising, community service, community awareness, and leadership. Some of our committees are dealing with community service, fundraising, leadership, and advocacy. So today on the Health Awareness Day, the focus of this year's Health Awareness Day is mental health during COVID-19. Our keynote speaker is Dr. Louise Green, Director of Patient Safety and Clinical Risk Management Department of Quality Improvement in Newark, New Jersey. Our guest speaker is Valerie Lewis, and she is a nutrition and training coordinator from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Today, we will be addressing health issues impacting minority communities. Our health committee members are Cynthia Hinton, and she's the chair. The co-chair is Maxine Adams, and the assistant co-chair is Jan House. Supporting members today are Jennifer Hyman, Lisa Wise Chapman, Betty Miller, and Nanika Brown. On behalf of Deborah Hunt, our president, and myself, Francine Humphrey, the vice president, we welcome you to our Health Awareness Day. And, of course, you know that we are in different times because everything is virtual, and we want to let you know that we are thinking about you as our community and praying that you are safe. Just before I get started, I would just like to say a short prayer to just open the day on a good high note. And then we're going to queue up for our guest speaker, Dr. Lois Green. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity once again. We thank you for the rising of the sun on this day. We thank you for everyone who is listening to the sound of my voice and those who will listen in the archives later. We thank you for the Urban League Guild for their community service and all who that are participating today. We thank you for our guest speakers and for what knowledge and education they will bring to our program. For anyone who is listening to me today, we just want to let you know that we are here and we are praying for you. We are standing strong as a community. Even though we're separated, we are together in mind, body, and spirit. And we wish you good health, and we pray that all is well in your household. We pray that if there's any sickness among you, that it will be alleviated soon and that you will get well soon. We just thank you for this day, Father, and we thank you for allowing us to do this broadcast so that we may reach our goal of reaching the community. Amen. Without further ado, I'm going to cue in my guest speaker and Dr. Lois Green. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, well, thank you.
Great. And I'm just going to read a little bit of your bio, and then we're going to get right into the program. Lois Green is the Director of Patient Safety and Clinical Risk at University Hospital in Newark, New Jersey, and the CEO of InTouch Educational Services, LLC. a healthcare educational consulting company. She serves as an adjunct professor at Ramapo College and Rutgers University. Dr. Green received a BSN from Rutgers University, an MBA from the University of Phoenix, and a DHA from the Medical University of South Carolina. She has served in multiple healthcare leadership roles. Dr. Green's primary work has been in improving the health and healthcare services. She has been on the front line, and I can say this because I know her. This is not in her bio, but I just wanted our audience to know how much we appreciate you, Dr. Green, all that you have done tirelessly working in this COVID-19 situation. Dr. Green has provided nursing services as a missionary in Kenya, Peru, and Jamaican West Indies. She is a wife and mother of three, and she has so many other accolades, and if she doesn't mind, I'm just going to bring her on now so that she can just tell us how she is doing since she's been on the front lines in this pandemic with the COVID virus.
Thank you so much, Francine, and thank you to your members, to your supporters, and just everybody that's even able to listen to this broadcast. Your first question, how am I doing? I'm going to tell you that I've been a nurse for many years, and COVID-19 has probably been the one disease that has challenged the entire world, and I've seen nothing like it in my lifetime. And you mentioned that I've been to Africa, I've been to Peru, I've been to, you know, Jamaica. This has truly, truly been something to be reckoned with. And it has brought out the best and some of the worst in many of us. So I think that the listeners really have to focus on their journey and what this disease is bringing to their lives. And it's not all bad. I live my life by a verse. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." And, you know, I've cited that verse probably throughout my life, and I think the part that we ignore is that we have to acknowledge him in all our ways, that there's some responsibility on our part in order to be directed by God. So I am excited to be here and, you know, celebrating women's health, celebrating health, and just to give a few words of encouragement and guidance that I think is not just for your listeners. God is like speaking to me as well. He's like, okay, I hope you're hearing yourself talk about these things, Lois, because it's important to all of us. And just to know it and not to do it is really not to know it. So if you're listening today, hopefully there's something in this talk that's for you. That's why you're here. I like to frame my talks. And when I speak to women, I like to speak about four things. And one is heart, health, hormones, and happiness. And so that's going to be the framework of what I'm going to talk with you about today. Just recognizing that there's a lot of numbers and there's information out there on the Worldometer about exactly how COVID-19 is impacting the world. Then you can drill down the Worldometer. You can just Google it. Kind of gives you this overarching view of exactly how the virus is impacting. And it shows you the worldwide impact, as well as, you know, by your city, if you drill into it. So I won't spend a lot of time on the numbers. We all know and can agree that it is significant, and that it is significantly impacting communities of color. And so why is that? And I think that if we focus on, I say this to everyone, the thing that is most effective about fighting this virus is having a healthy system. Having a healthy body. It does not do well, and 80% of the people who have contracted the virus have survived the virus, and it's mostly in part to their own immune systems and their own bodies being able and healthy enough to fight the virus. So we're going to talk about a lot of things, but that definitely, as we talk about heart and heart disease, it's really important that we know our numbers. You know, sometimes we want to stick our head in the sand and we don't, like, I know, I'm speaking to myself, as I said, you know, there's things that we don't want to know. You know, I pass my scale in my bathroom every morning and I do not want to jump on it. I do not necessarily want to know exactly what this pandemic has done to my bottom line. But it's important that we know our numbers. If you don't know, you can't do something about it. So things like our weight number, our blood pressure, our heart rate. And now another number that's become significant is knowing what our O2 saturation is. You know, so if you are having problems breathing, it's really important that you recognize if your body is losing oxygen, which is why you would access the hospital if needed. So we're gonna start, and I like to start with heart and what numbers do you need to know. So we talked about cholesterol. You know, one of the things that really, really impacts how well our body is able to fight off strokes and, you know, heart attacks is if we know that our cholesterol is not too high. And there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. This is a conversation you should have with your doctors. But it's important to know if your cholesterol is out of whack. We talked about blood pressure. You know, a lot of people tell me, you know, I know when my blood pressure's up because I get a headache. It is called the silent killer for a specific reason. Blood pressure is not something that you can know when it's up, but trust me, if your blood pressure goes too high, you can have a stroke and it can become debilitating. So that's an important number to know. How does my blood pressure fluctuate, and what makes it go up, what makes it go down? I know you're going to have someone talking later about nutrition, but it's important if you're a diabetic especially that you know what your blood sugar is. And if you're not a diabetic, that you know what your blood sugar is. And usually they want to take your blood sugar when you're fasting. When you've had no food for a 12-hour period, what is your blood sugar? Important. If it's too high or too low, you can end up in a coma. Too low is always worse. If your blood sugar is 20, you need to act on that immediately. High blood sugars also put us in, and can put us in a coma, but recognizing that a low blood sugar is lethal. So if you're a diabetic and you decide, you know what, I'm going to take my insulin and I'm not going to eat, not a good idea. Healthy choices are important when you're dealing with your heart. And it doesn't have to be, I'm going to make this drastic change to my life. It can be little micro habits about, you know, improving our health. We talked about weight. Little micro things, physical activity, nothing, you know, crazy, you know, I got to do 1 hour of aerobics or take the stairs, you know, go up and down stairs more, walk to the mailbox to begin with, you know, then walk to the park. I mean, don't stress yourself out about how much you have to do, just start doing something. The other thing that helps our heart, and people don't realize it, is laughter and joy. It's really important that we find things in this time that bring us joy. Sometimes people get so obsessed with what's on the news, how many people are dying, how many people are contracted, who's wearing a mask, who's not wearing a mask, why are they, you know, it gets overwhelming, and our mental, you know, health gets challenged, and we'll talk more about that later. But we've got to know what brings us joy. And if you don't know what brings you joy, how will anybody else know? So it's very important to focus on and find some things that bring us laughter and joy. Folks who take medications that are necessary, especially my diabetics and people that are hypertension, you need to do what you need to do to keep you healthy. Sometimes people, you know, they just stop taking their medications. You know, I had a really good friend that had a transplant, and she just stopped taking her medication. No one knew. If you need medication for your health, then have a conversation with your provider if it's causing you side effects or you're mentally any kind of way, don't want to take it anymore. Know that it's important to stay balanced. Sometimes we think we can do everything on our own. So sometimes to manage your health, you're going to require a coach. It can be a health care provider. It can be somebody that you trust. Michael Jordan was probably one of the greatest basketball players. He had a coach. So being great at something doesn't mean that you're above having someone else guide you on how to be better at it. So that's, you know, what I want to say about heart. Staying healthy. How can we stay healthy? You know, our mental health is extremely important. And I've seen time and time again that people don't equate their mental health to their physical health. So we talked a little bit about how important exercise is. You know, it can be dancing, movement, stretching, running. There's a lot of physical activity that will benefit your mental health if you just take the time to do it. And trust me, I think there's none of us that can say, I don't have time for that anymore. This COVID-19 shutdown has given us all the time in the world. And if we can looked for the silver lining in it, we can see that it's given us an opportunity to come back to the things that are important. Meditation, you know, people say sometimes, you know, I wake up at, you know, 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning and I can't get back to sleep. Sometimes you're not supposed to go back to sleep. You are supposed to be open to whatever God is telling you at that time, to whatever you're supposed to be receiving. So sometimes there's just time where you have to sort of shut down your ongoing racing mind and meditate on things that are good, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. There's just a portion of our health that requires us to slow down and receive at times. Also, rest is important to stay healthy. And I think people used to think, oh, you know, I'd only need 2 hours sleep. I only need 4 hours sleep. Rest is important for our body to rejuvenate and to heal itself. You know, one of the challenges with COVID-19 is that it attacks people with very weak immune systems. And they have found when you don't get enough rest, your immune system is compromised. So being able to rest, de-stress ourselves. People are like, oh, you know, people are very, very stressed out with this virus. You know, what do I need to do? How do I need to do it? Find something that you enjoy. Find and realize that sometimes you're not going to realize that you have stress. But we do, you know. Sometimes when I tune into my body, there's this big knot in the back of my neck, and I did not realize that, you know, seeing the amount of death, seeing the amount of just really challenged healthcare professionals, seeing people that are truly frightened and doing it anyway, it's stressful on their bodies, it's stressful on my body. So, you know, trying to, I pulled out this gift I received couple of years ago with one of these massage chairs where it kind of works the kinks out of your body. And I actually have been using it more during this crisis than I think I have since I got it. So recognize the stress, do something about it. We talked about doing something that you enjoy, finding those things that you enjoy. The other thing that we want to focus on too is when you're working from home, a lot of times people did not plan to work from home. So they're sitting in very non-ergonomic chairs, they're bending their heads over, they're not in good positions, they may be using a laptop that or a computer that causes the repetitive motion with the use of the mouse to cause them physical challenges. There are exercises for that. You know, you can order just about anything online. Make sure you have the proper alignment in your spine when you're working for hours over a computer. You know, focus on your posture, try to, you know, be tuned in to where your posture is. And also, you know, continue to challenge your mind. You know, you can get sucked in and just do one thing all day or not, you know, not read something that, you know, you're interested in or not be challenged. So for your general health, challenge your mind. You know, there's Sudoku or crossword puzzles or things that sort of get your mind out of that, you know, sort of circle that it's in. Hormones. So we talked about heart, we talked about general health. One thing I left out with general health is that, you know, during this time, a lot of people have not made their doctor's visits or they're not doing their regularly scheduled, you know, tests, like making sure that if you need, you know, a mammogram or a GYN visit, that those things get scheduled. Things are, you know, balancing out, and all of those doctor's offices are sort of finding a way to make sure that everyone can be cared for safely. So please make those calls. Make sure that you're focusing on and following up on your general health. All right, women with the hormones. And sometimes I think women don't realize how much of an impact that hormones have on our lives. I remember I've been giving talks to women for years, and now that I am a woman of a certain age myself, I recognize that I had no idea the impact of hormones until I started going. And so we need to recognize that some of the symptoms that you might be experiencing are from hormonal changes. What are some of the symptoms that women might have? And then these hormonal changes don't just happen to older women. Certainly, you know, I would recognize when my girls turned 13 and they were just off the chain, I was like, okay, so probably shouldn't kill them for that, because that's just them not being able to deal with their hormones, you know. So recognizing that throughout our lives as women, we have hormonal challenges. But when you get a certain age, sometimes there are symptoms that are signs of menopause. And some of those are hot flashes, night sweats, difficulty sleeping. You have shifts in your body, you know, fat goes from one area to another area, not necessarily where we want it to be. Sometimes it's difficulty sleeping. You know, women that are going through menopause can have memory loss or fogginess. Sometimes it's just a decreased interest in sex and, you know, a big change from what used to help them, you know, be aroused before. And now they just have no interest. Sometimes they can have, you know, symptoms of dryness or painful intercourse. These are all signs and symptoms of menopause that you might not recognize, and recognize that you can do something about most of these symptoms. And this is going to be a conversation that you need to have with your health professional. Excuse me. There's many women who decide they're going to ride the wave. They can make it through menopause. They're going to, you know, just kind of buckle up and they'll be fine. And there are some that if they don't get hormone replacement therapy, they will kill someone. So rather than go to jail, have a conversation with your doctor and decide what is it that I need to be able to get through this period. You know, there was a joke that said, what's the difference between PMS and menopause? A woman in PMS will kill you. A woman in postmenopausal will make you want to kill yourself. So just recognizing that these are challenges, right? And sometimes we don't recognize it.
Yes.
And I remember I looked and I said, I wonder how many women go to jail after 50 because they just are not the one. And then they snap off and then somebody's hurt and then they're doing time. So we have to recognize what's going on in our bodies and then get help. And then when I say that, sometimes when your body is so out of control, you can lose focus on your happiness. And I think one thing that we don't do well in communities of color is recognizing mental health illness. I think we recognize it in other people, but we don't necessarily recognize it in ourselves. And so, you know, you can have conversations with people and they're like, yeah, she crazy, or that person's, issues, or yeah, not going to invite this one to the party because she's always Debbie Downer. Sometimes people have real depression, and it can be caused from physiologic problems. It can be caused from just mental health issues, and there's no shame. If you know, you don't tell the diabetic, listen, just go and get your blood sugar in order. You're going to tell them to take their medication. A lot of times when people exhibit signs of, you know, they're up and then they're down or they're up, we kind of just enjoy the wave when they're like the life of the party. And then when they crash, we leave them alone. But these can be signs of mental health issues. And other signs that people should look for, sometimes when you're going through depression, life can look hopeless. And if you have lost interest or, you know, you just feel like withdrawing from people, I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, coming through this virus, a lot of mental health. People that have had mental health challenges in the past that are going to be extremely challenged because it's only exacerbated their already depression. They can just say, oh, you know, I'm just tired. Trust me, we all have had enough time to rest during this pandemic. So if you're having anxiety or just nervous, restless, you know, restlessness, sometimes anxiety can exhibit itself as a very real increase in your heart rate. So a normal heart rate is, you know, 60 to 100, and then all of a sudden your heart rate shooting up to 140, and you don't know why, you're just sitting there. Sometimes that can be anxiety. There's many, many different health problems. Sometimes people are just trembling or they feel panicked. You know, this virus has sort of made us a super anxious society, or it can bring that out. You know, people, I was sitting at a table the other day and didn't even realize that when somebody came into the room and they sat at a table, which was like 4.5 feet from me, not 6 feet, like I was sensitized to that. And I was like, wait, you know, I never had that before. You know, you go to a movie theater, you got people packed in all around you. Now I am very hyper aware of the amount of distance it is between myself and another person. So just recognizing that. You know, sometimes people with anxiety can have just this feeling of dread, and they don't know why. They can be super irritable. You know, you move the cup, or somebody's at the table chewing, and you're like, why do you have to chew like that? It's not them. It's you. Irritability can be a sign of depression. changes in appetite. You know, don't want to eat anymore or want to eat everything and I'm not hungry, you know, can be a sign of depression. Uncontrollable emotion can be another sign. You know, you just don't know why you're crying. You just don't know why you're upset, but your emotions are not within your control. Another sign is just obsession with death. You know, I had to check myself, you know, recently because I watch the statistics and I'm looking at what's happening across the world with different numbers. So I'm like, oh, this is happening in Spain. This is happening in Brazil. You know, I think you have to just watch. You know, you have some people that every day they get up and they would just read the obituaries looking for their name. There is help out there for mental health challenges, and recognizing that there's no shame in that is certainly a good thing. So I don't want to spend, I know I have, you know, a short amount of time and I want to be able to take questions. So just around, you know, heart health, hormones, and happiness, you know, what questions do your audience have and how can I help?
Thank you, Dr. Green. That was awesome information. And I hope if you're not taking notes, you'll go back and listen to this broadcast so that we can share this information with the community. I'm going to bring on the chairperson for this committee, mm-hmm. and her name is Cynthia Hinton. I'm queuing her up now, and hopefully she can get in. Because you know this is live broadcast, so sometimes takes a few seconds to cue somebody's mic in. And for some reason, hers does not want to cue up. So I'm going to go down to, let me see, because I have everybody here listed. And let me see if I can get Jan House.
That's,
I know, isn't it amazing?
Yeah, pandemic has taught us. Oh, go ahead.
Yes. So what it's doing right now, it is spinning, so which means there are a lot of people on the call. So I'm going to ask Cynthia's question for her.
Okay.
She did send it to me so that we can keep it moving. And then if it cues back up for the mics, I will bring her on. So this is so much fun today, and thank you so much. I know that they're all excited to come on the broadcast this morning. And so her question this morning, Cynthia Hinton is the chairperson, and she wanted to know, given COVID-19's mental impact on a number of people at all levels, even on those with no previous mental treatment or history, do you have any advice for those seeking help for themselves or others?
There are many resources out there. I think the one thing that this pandemic has done is created more creative ways for people to reach out. So if you are having symptoms or, you know, challenges, reach out. You can either, Google or search mental health resources for your specific issue, or reach out to your primary care doctor and let them refer you to someone. Everyone is using multiple methods of being able to reach out to and communicate with patients. So it might be a Skype visit. It might be something where you're able to have a conversation over the phone. But most important it is that you reach out. You know, if you don't have someone, and I recommend everybody have someone that they can talk to. You know, start with that person and reach out for professional resources. I definitely encourage it. Everybody needs somebody.
Great. And Jan House has a question. And for persons previously diagnosed with a mental illness, but due to COVID-19 are unable or cannot afford to get their meds, do you have any advice on coping skills that they can use to offset triggers until they can get their medications?
Well, there's two different things. I think if you have mental health issues and you have not been able to get your meds, there are resources out there. There's a 211, which is like a almost like a 911, but for all kinds of community resources, where you should reach out to your provider, first of all, because many of them are connecting with their patients, even though they might not be able to physically come to the building where they are. And a lot of times they will have resources. And then if not, then the social worker, if you go to a particular hospital, the social social worker, case manager at that facility should be able to also access resources. But 211, I find, is a very comprehensive resource for, and it's available online as well, and I think it's available in most cities. Like in New Jersey, it's 211 New Jersey, and they have resources around housing, utility assistance, professionals, if your, you know, heating is out, all kinds of resources. So, yeah.
Okay, awesome. I think we may be able to talk to Cynthia and Jan. Let me see. It's going to let me load up. Okay. Good morning, Cynthia. We were having a little technical difficulty, so I did ask your question, and I just wanted you to say hello to Dr. Green on behalf of the Urban League Guild.
Hello, Dr. Green.
Good afternoon.
The information that you're providing the community is really amazing. So glad to have you on, and keep doing the good work that you have been doing, and that God continue to let you work in helping people, especially during this trying time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And you know what? Everybody needs everybody, and I just encourage folks who know someone who's, you know, on the front line. I don't care if they're working in a supermarket, they have a lot of fears, or if they're working, you know, in an ICU with the patients on a ventilator. Everybody really needs support during this time.
Absolutely. I'm going to bring on Jan House so that she can say hello. We did ask her a question. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. The information that you are providing this morning is so on point, and I just want to thank you so much. There is so much that I gleaned from what you are sharing, and also so much of what I can actually identify with.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you so much for openly sharing that information, because I know that mental health is not well received in some households, but the more we share the information, get it out there prayerfully, the less ashamed people will be to go out and get help.
It's stigmatized, and it's like, you know, we have this perception that we're perfect, and if we reach out and get help with mental health services, something is wrong with us. But you know what? You know, even when you ride the plane, they say you've got to put your own oxygen mask on first. So you can't really help other people unless your own, you know, mind is straight, and that you are clear around what your purpose is and what, you know, what God has you here to do. And I think that not having that really drives people into a depression. When people are only focused on themselves, it doesn't help. So spiritual connection is important.
Okay, great. I'm going to cue in Lisa Wise, and so she may have a question.
Okay.
Good morning, Lisa. How are you this morning? Please ask your question.
Good morning. Good morning, Francine. Good morning. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Okay, great. Awesome. Good morning, Dr. Green. Good morning, Francine. Thank you so much. This opportunity is invaluable. I just want to thank you so much for what you've shared. I have received so much and can't wait to share this information with women in my circle and beyond. And I just wanted to share that I know for me, just listening to you, the things that kind of leaked out for me was when you talked about different things that we go through as women, even through hormonal or, you know, just different things in our lives at different stages in women's lives.
Yeah.
And how you said when you were younger, you didn't necessarily understand until you had lived a while and known, you know, how different things in yourself firsthand, how things had affected you. And I would just say with that, even how, like you said, this virus is affecting us in a myriad of ways that we may feel in the moment we're coping well, but 3 months from now, 6 months from now, we may be in a different place mentally and think, oh, well, I was doing so well. What happened? And I think just being tuned with what's going on in that moment. In that moment, you may be in a different job than you were 6 months previous. You may have moved and transitioned physically to a different place. And so all of those things are stressors. You may have lost a loved one, and that happened 6 months later or a year later. And all of those things affect us, and being in tune with yourself, I think, is key to what you were saying, is that we'll think we're fine, but we have to do those checks and evaluations of where we are and what's happening in our life that's affecting us, as opposed to just being like, oh, no, I'm fine. That's our first go-to, is to say we're fine and we're taking care of somebody else, or we're taking care of something else. And not recognizing the effect of that.
Your point is so excellent and such an – one of the things we've got to recognize is that grief has stages. And there's a denial stage, a bargaining stage, an acceptance stage, VA, I missed one. And then finally – oh, I'm sorry, a denial stage, an anger stage, a bargaining stage, and then an acceptance stage. So this pandemic has caused grief in so many different ways, and I think that the people need to understand that it is truly grief. Just because I had an uncle that died, I had a family friend that died, I just kept it moving. I didn't have I wasn't able to go to his funeral. We only had 10 people. It was in another state. My aunt, my father's sister died in England, kept it moving. We are human beings, and we have to grieve. It's not optional. It's worse to stuff the feelings and not recognize that, you know what, when we get to a place where we're angry and we don't know why we're angry, recognize that's a stage of grief, you know, that we are going to be like, God, why did this happen? Why did I lose my job? You know, we're going through so many things that trigger grief. We got to recognize it when we're going through it. That's an excellent, excellent, excellent point. And then we do get to acceptance, but you can't just skip to acceptance.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for the question. And thank you, Dr. Green. I'm going to queue up one or two more people, and then we're going to wrap it up, because I know we don't want to keep you, because you have so much to do. But we really thank you. This information has been great. If you are listening today and you would like more information about what we're doing and the Urban League Guild, please reach out to me. My telephone number is 757-567-6734, and you can reach me anytime after the show. But please leave me a message, and I will definitely give you a call back. I'm going to open the mic for 757 and your last four numbers are 3007, because I don't have your name here. And you can just say good morning, and if you have a question or statement, please do so at this time.
Well,
good morning.
Morning, Fran. This is Maxine Adams, and I too
am
a committee member, and I have thoroughly enjoyed Dr. Green. The question I had earlier, she just came right out of the gate answering all of my questions and concerns. I thank you for that. Wow. I talked to many groups of people, women, prayer groups, and you addressed all of the concerns, the anxieties that the majority of people have. And the main thing, we have to have coping skills, because we cannot deny that this is different from any and everything that we've ever experienced before. And without your excellent coping skills that you have shared with us, that we will take to the streets for our Urban League Guild, it's been outstanding and amazing. And I thank you, and I ask God to bless you and keep you well and safe as you continue your inspiring journey.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maxine.
I'll end with this. You know, I think that people of faith have to recognize that this didn't happen for no reason, that there's, you know, a work for us to do, and that we are to be salt and light in this darkness. And this is a very dark time. much of the world. But we have a peace that passes all understanding. Are we human beings and do we experience what we're, you know, the physical? Absolutely. But we also have, like I said, we have God. We have just an understanding of our purpose and that someone that we know is in control of this very, very challenging time.
Thank you, Dr. Green. I have one more person on the line, and their last four numbers are 0794. I do not have your name. I'm going to cue you in. If you would like to say hello to Dr. Green, please do so at this time, and then we're going to close out this part of our program. Good morning. Seven five seven oh seven nine four. Did you want to say good morning to Dr. Green?
They might be on mute. Are they on mute?
Yeah, they might be. Okay. So thank you, everyone on the committee. Thank you to all our wonderful Urban League Guild members. And on behalf of President Deborah Hunt and myself, Dr. Green, we really, really applaud you. And I can do the applause. I know they can't because they're on mute. Thank you so much. You were absolutely wonderful. And I invite you to join us again. And we're going to set something up so that we could do a little bit more time with you and go over some of the other burning questions that I know that our members have and also the community as well. So thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Green. You be safe. God bless you.
You're welcome.
Continue
and thank
to
you
do
so much
the work.
Me.
Yes. We will be praying for you and your staff and all the people around you and all the first responders. We are so proud of you, and we thank you so much. So have a glorious day, and we will talk to you soon. Care now, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. If you are just tuning in, this is the Urban League Guild Health Awareness Day 2020. And if you missed the first 30 minutes of our broadcast, please, please go back to the archives and listen to it. It was some valuable information. We are here today for our Health Awareness Day. I am so excited. Even though I cannot see my fellow members of the Urban League, they are all doing a wonderful job. And I am so excited to be here with you today. I am Francine Humphrey, and I'm going to bring on our second guest speaker today. Her name is Valerie H. Lewis, and I'm going to cue her in, and we're going to get ready for her presentation. And so let me see here. Let me give me a second because I'm transitioning from one side to the other. And you know what, technology is so lovely. You just have to be so extra careful. And I'm so excited. I'm so glad that all of my members are here that can participate, and we know that more will be joining us through the archives. Good morning, Valerie Lewis.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you so much. Yes, I can.
Can
I can
me?
Hear you. Good morning.
Great.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you? Everything is well on my end, so we're just going to jump right into it. Valerie has a BS in food science and nutrition from Norfolk State University. She has completed and coordinated undergraduate program in diets. And I know I said that wrong, but y'all forgive me because I'm a little dry right now. So, you know, this is live. So from Norfolk State University with clinical and food service internship rotations at Sentara Norfolk General Hospital. She's a registered dietitian, that was my word, for over 33 years, and she has worked in clinical food service management and school nutrition. She also works at Virginia Beach Public Schools. So I'm not going to read her whole bio, but I will send it out to my team members so that you can have all of her wonderful information. Valerie, we thank you for joining us today for our Health Awareness Day 2020 with the Urban League Guild. So I'm going to ask that you just share some information with us about nutrition and how it affects the African-American community and any community as well as other minority communities, and then we're going to take some questions.
Okay. Okay, well, first I would like to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the gift he's provided me with to be able to provide this information to you. And just like Dr. Green, one of her favorite verses was Proverbs 3:5. I also love that one and recite it every morning. Well, in light of this COVID-19 and these unprecedented times, I believe we have to look to a higher being to get us through. So I would also like to thank you, Francine, for inviting me to be a part of this radio broadcast. As you mentioned, I am a registered dietitian and also a school nutrition specialist. I work in the Office of Food Service in Virginia Beach City Public Schools. And prior to this pandemic, we provided healthy meals to students so that they could be ready to learn. And for many students, the school meals are their main source of eating. So when the students were no longer in schools or are no longer in schools, many parents feared that the students would not have any food to eat. However, since mid-March, our food service workers have been considered essential employees. They've been providing breakfasts, lunches, and now also suppers, preparing, bagging, and giving these foods to the students across our district. So I would like to give a huge shout-out to all of the food service employees in Virginia Beach City Public Schools. And the first day of May of every year is School Nutrition Hero Day, and these people are truly heroes to many families. So I wanted to first mention that. Well, healthy eating and good nutrition is important every day, not just during this pandemic. And it's especially important that African Americans make every effort to eat healthy because many chronic diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, cancer are very prevalent in our people as well as other minorities. And overweight and obesity is also at high levels. I believe that if we are made aware of statistics and are taught how to make specific changes, and then we take this information to heart, then we can produce big differences in the outcome. Okay, food plays a major role in our lives. It provides nutrients for energy and healthy body. There's also social enjoyment. We love eating out with our family and friends, and we miss that during these times because that makes us happy. Food also provides comfort. And many comfort foods, especially those which our mom and grandmas prepared, have provided much comfort to us, even though now some of these foods may have to have some changes in their methods of preparations. But we have to make a conscious effort to eat healthy, nutritious foods. But eating healthy does not have to be complicated. Many of you have seen the guide My Plate. This is the latest kind of version of how we can eat healthy. And it's really simplistic. If you think about, or I know you've seen the My Plate probably on posters, or I know in some of the grocery stores near the produce they have a picture of that. But if you think about what you eat each meal, half of the plate should be consisted of fruits and vegetables. A little bit more of a quarter of the rest should be your grains, and then the other quarter should be protein. And, of course, we want to choose dairy as well. So use My Plate as a guide. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the portion sizes because portion size is the key. However, I did want to mention that on the www.choosemyplate website, there's a wealth of information there. Some of the tips that I pulled off, I'm just going to name a few. It's called Build a Healthy Meal, Eating Better on a Budget, Eat Seafood Twice a Week. What's cooking? Snack tips for parents. Eating foods away from home. Being an active family. Be role models for your children. So those are just some of the tips that are provided through the My Plate website. So getting back to My Plate, what types of foods do we need to be eating? Not just African Americans, but all people should be just taking a look at what types of foods they're eating. Well, with the fruits, we want to emphasize whole fruits, fresh fruits. If we drink juice, 100% juice. Vegetables, we want to eat our colors. You've heard of eating your rainbows of colors because these vibrant fruits and vegetables, the color of them provide a wealth of nutrients. We want to emphasize dark green vegetables, red, orange vegetables, beans and peas, starchy vegetables. And even at schools, one of the guidelines that we have to follow is providing those types of subgroups of vegetables with our students' meals every week. Fresh vegetables are certainly the better, if you want to select fresh or frozen, and emphasizing again your green leafy vegetables. Whole grains are very important. So when we're looking at our grain group, we want to stay away from a lot of the refined grains and emphasize whole grains, like your whole wheat pasta and whole wheat noodles and whole grain bread. Protein foods. Protein is very important in our diet, but we don't need as much as many people tend to eat. 1 ounce of protein is a portion size, and most typical Americans only need to eat 2 to 3 ounces of protein with the meal. Your protein should be lean. If you eat if you eat the protein, you especially with your meats, you want to take away the skin. And the method of preparation, for the most part, should be baked or broiled or roasted, and staying away from fried meats. Also in the protein group are non-meat items, such as your seafood and fish, your nuts and seeds, or beans and peas are non-meat sources, great sources of protein. And then in the dairy group, if you choose dairy, choose, again, your low-fat items, such as low-fat milk and low-fat cheeses and yogurt. So my plate is a true simplistic guide that can be used. Portion size is a key, so we want to watch our portions. And so when you make changes, progression of small changes is so much better and can lead to big changes over time. Okay, and I want to emphasize beverages. We don't want to drink our calorie allotment for the day in beverages. A lot of people are drinking these sugared beverages. And what I would like to suggest is that people maybe drink infused water, infused with fruits and herbs and things, instead of sweetened beverages. Instead of using butter and salt, we can use herbs and spices to season our vegetables as well. And eating fruit in place of dessert is certainly a better option. So those are some of the things that I want to initially talk about in regards to eating healthy.
Well, thank you so much, Valerie. And that was great information. And we're so glad to have you here with us today. I'm going to bring on Cynthia and to see if she has a question for you. If I can cue up my microphone again.
Okay.
All righty. And let me see. All right. So I'm going to go back to, I don't see Cynthia at this particular time, so maybe she had to step away for a minute. I'm going to bring Maxine on, who's her co-chair. Maxine, do you have a question for Valerie Lewis about nutrition?
Yes, Ms. Lewis, thank you so much for joining us today and the wonderful information you've provided so far. My question is, will you please speak on the foods that will boost the immune system during this time, because if we can all continue to eat healthily and also boost our immune system, some of the foods and vegetables, fruits, and beverages that would help that, I would love to have you speak on that. And also perhaps some breathing exercises that we can utilize. Are you familiar? Is that something you cover also?
Well, I'm not an exercise physiologist. Basically, what we do as dietitians, we recommend just definitely exercising, starting out slow, certainly consulting with your physician as far as the amount and type of exercise based on, you know, other ailments or things that you may have. But walking is always a good form of exercise that we can do that would be very beneficial to us.
Okay, and then as far as the fruits and vegetables that will boost that immune system so we'll be stronger to fight off any of the illnesses, especially COVID-19.
Right, and I think some of these that you may be talking about is antioxidants. Well, antioxidants, just to talk about a little bit about antioxidants, anti means against, and oxidants is oxidation. And oxidation is the process in which oxygen gets metabolized and creates free radicals. And these are things that are known to produce oxidative stress in our bodies. So we can handle a little bit of free radicals, but too much is not good for us because it tends to cause damage such as maybe some types of cancer or aging prematurely. So what we want to do is eat plenty of antioxidants, and that can be found mainly in foods that contain vitamin A, C, and E. So a lot of your berries, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, your dark green leafy vegetables that I mentioned, spinach and kale, any of the deep, rich color vegetables and fruits are going to provide a lot of that of what you're looking for. Nuts, in small amounts, of course, because nuts contain fat, and they just want to eat a small amount of those, but almonds and walnuts and things like that. Beans and lentils, a lot of times we don't eat a lot of non-meat protein options, but beans and lentils are things that can be used as far as antioxidants as well as providing the protein that we need without a lot of the additional fat. However, in preparing these foods, as I mentioned, you don't want to add the fat to it. So instead of adding maybe the ham hock or salt pork or different things that we may have been used to eating or our moms prepared it with, we got to think of other things that we can use, such as different herbs and spices, maybe onions and garlic and lemon and other just fresh herbs that we can put into our foods to give it the flavor. A lot of times we don't even really know maybe the taste of foods because it's covered with sodium or covered with, you know, fat. So we don't really know the true taste of foods. So I challenge people to eat food that don't have a lot of those fats and sodium in it, but to use herbs and spices to enhance the flavor of food.
Thank you
so much. You, Maxine, for that question. Yes. So we're getting down to the last 3 minutes. So I'm going to ask Lisa to join us, and if she has a question or a comment, and then we're going to have to wrap it up. It's been wonderful information. Lisa, did you have a question?
Yes.
Or
hello,
statement?
Valerie.
Yes.
Thanks for being hello. With us. Hello, I have a quick question, and I know that nutrition is not mutually exclusive, but I wanted to ask if there was one food that we as African Americans can eat, what would be the most important food that we could consume, and what is the most important food that we should eliminate from our diet?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I personally don't believe it's one food. We need to eat a variety of foods because not one single food can provide all the nutrients that our body needs, and that's why we have various food groups because they each contain different nutrients apart from others. Certainly in combination, some work together, but it's no single food that can provide all of the nutrients that our body needs. So that would be my question. That's probably not what you really want to hear, but we do need to eat a variety of foods. We just have to watch the type of way that we prepare those foods. But eating a variety is certainly the key.
Wonderful. I'm going to open up.
Please repeat the second part of your question.
What was the most important food to eliminate from our diet?
Well, again, people, we're all unique. And so what I like may be different from what you like. So if I say eliminate chocolate, some people may say, oh, no. But other people who do not like chocolate may find it, well, you know, not to eat that. So, again, we look at what foods that we are eating. Are those the healthiest options for us? What type of ailment may we have that we need to stay away? So, you know, we want it, all foods can fit in our diet except for if there's a reason why we cannot have it. If the doctor has specifically said you need to stay away from a certain food because of a certain ailment that you may have, then that's what you need to stay away from. Other than that, it's the portion size of the food and the frequency that you eat up that makes the difference.
Absolutely wonderful.
Thank
so,
you.
Ladies and gentlemen, and you're listening to the Healthy Awareness Day 2020. All mics are open, so please know that we can hear your background for just these last couple of seconds. I just want to thank my Urban League team members on behalf of our president, Deborah Hunt. We thank you so much, Ms. Valerie Lewis, for joining us. And we're going to sign off now. And everybody can say goodbye because all your mics are open. And thank you so much again for being – yes. Yes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Thank it has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you, Cynthia.
You.
Thank you. I appreciate you all. Well done, my committee members. And we will do this again. So everyone be safe out there. God bless you and have a wonderful rest of your day. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
You have been listening to the Issues Concerning Women radio talk show with your host, Francine Humphrey. Today, we had the awesome pleasure of hosting Health Awareness Day 2020 for the Urban League Guild of Hampton Roads. Thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing you in the future. Bye-bye.